from St. Louis Public Radio. This is the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. I'm Jason Rosenbaum. Kelly Dunaway spent close to 5 years as a member of the St. Louis County Council, and it was not a particularly enjoyable time to serve on the seven-person body. The Chesterfield Democrat had to take hard and, to some people, unpopular votes on COVID mitigation policies, and she became ensnared in the seemingly never-ending struggle between the county council and the county executive. But those days are over for Dunaway, who stepped aside at the end of last year. And since leaving St. Louis County politics, Dunaway started Legal Witchcraft. It's a company that offers folks a chance to use spells, crystals, herbs, and ritual to overcome obstacles and to summon empowerment. While witchcraft has always had a controversial place in American society, it's also become more popular over the past couple of years among women who seek camaraderie and self-fulfillment. And with the help of social media and the modern political environment, Dunaway is almost certainly not alone in embracing witchcraft. Dunaway joins us in studio to discuss legal witchcraft and the place of witchcraft in American society. Kelly, welcome back to the program.
Thanks so much for having me, Jason. It's great to be here.
Let's start off with a basic question. What is witchcraft?
Witchcraft is an empowered state where we are in connection with the universe, plants, crystals, other people, any living thing. I see myself as a piece of stardust that has been flung throughout the universe and has existed since before time and will exist after time. And my work here is to reconnect with that inner power that comes with that piece of stardust and to share it and with other people and to bring them into the fold.
If I came to legal witchcraft, what sort of things would I get to experience? And more importantly, do I have to be a lawyer to take advantage of your services?
You do not have to be a lawyer, though many of my clients are. And whether we're getting together for a tarot reading or we're participating in a moon ritual, whether it's one-on-one or in community with others, what we're doing is finding words to put to what it is you truly want in your life. And once you have the words for it, we will turn it into an affirmation that you can say every day in the mirror, to your friends, to the people around you, so that you remind yourself all the time what it is that you really want. And my goal is to get you not just to say it out loud, but to take that first step into action. There's the thing you want, and now you have to go get it. And to me, that is my job in legal witchcraft, is to empower you to admit out loud what it is that you want and then get you into action to go after it.
That is actually very similar to what you recently wrote on your Substack, and I'm going to quote you here. "Believe me, I wish I could say what I want, light a candle, and sit back and wait for it to happen. But naming it is just the first step. Adding magic follows, and the next step, the most critical step, takes courage. It's the act of moving past our fear of failure that lights the fire of our first action." I'm sure that both witches and non-witches have had to do exactly as you described on a semi-daily basis, which is facing a situation that is scary, or is difficult, or is unfamiliar. How does adding the ritual of witchcraft help create the confidence to take that first action?
Because it reconnects us to this power that was always ours to begin with, but a power that we've been taught by society, by the patriarchy, especially women, to ignore our intuition and our compassion and these things inside of us and around us that make us so powerful, but that we have tuned out of because we've been taught to not take care of ourselves, to not trust ourselves, to not trust each other. And this is an opportunity to put all of that back where it's supposed to be, to light this empowering piece of power within all of us to go after the life we want.
Do you consider witchcraft a religion? Because if I recall correctly, in the 20th century, there was something called Wicca that became fairly popular at certain points. But from doing research, Wicca is not every aspect of witchcraft.
I see Wicca as to witchcraft as like Catholicism is to Christianity. It's a sect of witchcraft. And would I say it's a religion? I mean, depends on who you ask and who's defining it. It's a co-creative relationship with the universe and nature and the power that exists around and between us all of the time. I don't see like one divine being that's in charge, but just a co-creation between me and the rest of the stardust that's all around.
In fact, I think one of the reasons why the concept of witchcraft has been so controversial, especially among Christians, is it seems to firmly reject the idea that there is an external deity that is guiding everything, and that really a lot of the power for people comes from within. Am I getting that correctly?
Yes, you nailed it.
And can you explain like how that is so much different than like a lot of contemporary religious thought?
I mean, this is just my personal opinion, but a lot of contemporary religious thought is, I tell you what is moral and you do it. Or if you don't do it, then you will be punished somehow. And in my view of the world, it's all about karma. Whatever you put out into the universe is what the universe gives back. If you wake up angry and you take your anger out on people, good things are not going to happen to you throughout the day. But if you wake up, no matter how you feel, and you put a smile on your face and you just work through it, you're going to get good things that come back to you. It's because we are all in a symbiotic relationship with the world and the universe around us. And it's a give and take, love and be loved, hate and be hated world.
How large of a witchcraft community does St. Louis have?
It is much bigger than I ever imagined. I mean, I met your producer in a tarot class at Sincerely the Craft.
My Norfleet, by the way. Is it okay that okay, I wanted to make sure it was okay to expose that.
I know, continue. I outed you too. Sorry about that. But I think, and then you see people, you know, went to tarot class. I went through three versions of it. So like 101, 201. I mean, I've been through advanced tarot. And I think looking at even the posts on social media that are generating from St. Louis, the authors in St. Louis who are witches, and like the Wicca festival and the witchcraft festivals that come through here are extraordinary.
And what is tarot card reading for people who may not understand what that is?
So the tarot is a deck of cards. There are 78 cards, 78, 22, and 7. Yeah, there are 78 cards in the tarot deck. And I see the tarot as a mirror. So I can throw down a combination of cards and I could throw them down for you, Jason. And what I will tell you what the cards mean, what the position that they're in means. But what really is important is that you connect with them at some place inside of you. It's like Jung's archetypes, right? It's connecting to a piece of yourself that maybe you don't see in your everyday conscious, but I help you tap into so that you can make decisions about how to move forward.
And to bring this into politics for a second, there was a burgeoning controversy in the 1980s about Nancy Reagan not using tarot cards, but using, I guess, astrology or psychics to, I guess, maybe maneuver through her day. I think there's been a lot of examples throughout history of people using that type of thing to make political decisions. Has that been your understanding as well?
Well, yes. And I say that because it's a tool to create intentionality, right? You read your horoscope, whether you believe in it or not, it still gives you a guidance for how to get through your day or your week or your month, what energies are available to you to capitalize on and to push yourself forward through. It's just a tool, in my view. I mean, I think it's a powerful tool and I believe in it. But even if you don't, it's a powerful tool for taking ownership over your life and the direction of each day.
We're talking with Kelly Dunaway, a former St. Louis County Councilwoman and the proprietor of Legal Witchcraft. So, Kelly, I have to ask this question. When did you realize that you were a witch?
So it was a remembering is how I like to put it. And it happened during the pandemic because When the days got long and dark and lonely, I leaned into the quiet and leaned deeper and deeper into myself. And that is where that spark first started to shine. And I decided to write novels, and I decided that my protagonist was going to be a witch. And the more I got to learn about witchcraft, and she's an ancient witch, you know, first century BCE, but the more I got to learn about modern witchcraft and what it means and who's involved and how far and deep and wide it goes, I felt like I found my place and my people and what I was here to do.
And you came out of the broom closet, so to speak. See, I promised there would be witch puns in this interview. After you left St. Louis County politics, even in a very Democratic place like St. Louis County, did you fear that being open about being a witch would have been a bridge too far?
Oh, my gosh. So when I look back now, Jason, I kind of laugh and I'm like, maybe I should have, just to create such a storm. But I just feel like it would have been the only thing anybody was talking about in St. Louis County. No one would have taken me seriously. I wouldn't have been able to do the work that I was able to get done, even in that trying situation.
And I ask this because there's a pretty recent example in politics and witchcraft commingling. Back in 2010, Christine O'Donnell, who was the Republican Senate nominee for Delaware, had to create this ad to respond to prior comments she made to Bill Maher, of all people, about dabbling in witchcraft.
I'm not a witch. I'm nothing you've heard. I'm you. None of us are perfect, but none of us can be happy with what we see all around us. Politicians who think spending, trading favors, and backroom deals are the ways to stay in office. I'll go to Washington and do what you'd do. I'm Christine O'Donnell, and I approve this message. I'm you.
Unfortunately for Christine O'Donnell, she did not become a U.S. senator. She lost by almost 20 percentage points. And there were a lot of reasons why she lost. But the fact that she once said she was a witch played a pretty big role. You're a former Barack Obama staffer, so you're a grizzled veteran of the late 2000s, early 2010s politics. You probably remember that. I'm sure you have some thoughts on that as a witch as well.
Well, I have to say, Jason, I'm ashamed to admit that I laughed when that whole thing happened. I laughed out loud a lot. And now that I am a witch and I call myself a witch openly, I feel kind of bad for her because she couldn't be who she is authentically and survive in politics, which, as you just read from my recent Substack post, neither could I. And I, as a witch now and as a proud witch, part of why I use that word is because it is mired in so much of its own hate and backstory and history that was just used to justify the relentless chasing and murdering of women who lived in their own empowerment before it was allowed.
You transition nicely to my next question, which was going to be what you just referred to, the Salem witch trials, because Puritans associated witchcraft with Satanism, the devil, and just bad, dark, nasty stuff. What you seem to be talking about is not that. I'm not going to argue that everybody is going to embrace it after listening to this interview. But why do you think there's a disconnect between the contemporary view of witchcraft and the type of things that legal witchcraft provides?
I think it's, you know, I think it's society justifying treating women who are not following in the footsteps of what society wants women to be. And I don't mean all of society. I mean a big, loud piece of it. But I am never going to be the person that that piece of society wants me to be. I am divorced. I live alone. I talk to plants. I sit in nature and meditate. Because I am connected to my own power, not the power that the patriarchy wants to withhold from me and so many other women. It's this magic that we have inside of ourselves that I want everyone to be able to tap into. And I'm not saying that witchcraft is just for women. I think the perfect situation is a yin and a yang, 50% feminine energy, 50% masculine energy in each and every human being. And until we can bridge that gap and be open to and love each parts of ourselves that make up the whole, we're never going to move forward as a society or as St. Louis County or anything else. And that is part of what I want to do in my work with Legal Witchcraft, is to help all of us tap into that feminine power that we all contain.
Atmos Magazine reported that there are more than 8 million posts on TikTok with the hashtag WitchTalk. In that same article, Alice Tarbuck is quoted as saying, "Surging interest in witchcraft is, quote, always simultaneous to a down surge in quality of life, an upsurge in right-wing persecution, and heightened scarcity." What do you think about Tarbuck's comments?
I think it's right, because the more the right wing gains power, the more rights and privileges are taken primarily away from women. And it's a way for us to turn towards something that gives us back into our power, gives us a way back into our power, and also connects us to each other. One of my clients who participated in a moon ritual recently mentioned at the height of the magical moment that if more women got together in rooms like this and got this vulnerable and tapped into this much power, that the old systems would crumble. And I think this is what's happening, is women are seeing ourselves in 2025 losing our rights, losing our ability to succeed. Women are fleeing from the workplace because we can't. The workplace is trying to rein back in the freedoms we got during the pandemic. And I think we're just trying to find a power and a place that's rooted in something different from politics and hate and scarcity.
What are you hoping that people get out of witchcraft if they learn it through you or through others?
Just to be empowered, to be authentic, to connect to the magic that's all around in nature and the universe, and connected to what's inside of you so that you can build the life that you want.
I guess a couple of rapid fire questions, maybe to dispel some popular myths about witchcraft. If I had an enemy that I wanted to turn into a frog, is there anything for me that you could provide me to do that?
So not me personally. I do hear that the witches of Etsy do have such spells that can go in that route. But I am very focused on putting out into the universe what I'm going to get back.
Have you also found that men are interested in witchcraft? And do they have to be called warlocks, or could they be witches if they wanted to?
I have met men who are witches. They call themselves witches. They are witches. I tend to find most men, not to dissuade heterosexual men, but most of the men who are engaged with me, at least, are LGBTQ.
You mentioned moon rituals several times. What is a moon ritual, and how does it help some of your clients deal with some of the things they're dealing with?
So I tend to do new moon rituals and full moon rituals. In the full moon ritual, we're usually releasing something that's holding us back. It could be an outdated relationship or a person or a job or just a negative way we talk to ourselves. And in that ritual, we will name the thing that's holding us back. We'll set it on fire. We'll share. We'll talk about what it looks like and feels like to live without that. And then the goal is to have everybody commit to one action item of something that they're going to do that they wouldn't have previously done because that thing was holding them back. In a new moon ritual, it's about new beginnings and starting new things. And so we usually, in those, we will name the thing that we want to achieve in the next 6 months. And then we create magic around it and shared vulnerability to it creates accountability, because once you say you want something out loud and a room full of people hear you say it, you're going to be motivated to actually go after that thing. And now you've got this support system that's there to support you while you're doing it. You've got the magic. You've got the crystals. Everybody leaves with a little bag of goodies to hang on to during their journey. And it just creates this opportunity to see and feel what could be, so that you then are motivated to go out after it.
Kelly Dunaway is a former St. Louis County Councilwoman and the proprietor of Legal Witchcraft. Kelly, thank you again for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me, Jason. I really didn't think you'd have me back when I left politics. So it's great to be here.
Well, you did promise me your first extended interview after you came out of the broom closet, and I'm glad we could follow through on that.
This episode was produced by Jason Rosenbaum.
And
by Maya Norfleet.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.